So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is...
The Spud Goodman Show.
You're listening to Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
Let's get ready, Trumbo! And here he is, the head cheese meister. It's Spud Goodman.
Greetings, Andarola. I am Spud Goodman.
The Spud Man.
Welcome to Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show and our Leave It to Beaver special. As I personally still am such a big fan of this old TV sitcom, I wanted to do this special to honor it. I mean, I fall asleep each night to a few old rerun episodes of it on the TV in my bedroom. It's airing on Peacock, for anybody who's not aware of it. Anyway, I guess having the privilege of having three of the main cast members on my radio show over the years did increase my devotion to this program. I mean, yes, some might label it as an ancient, corny, or lame family sitcom, but what can I say? It still works for me. Yeah, so now I should bring on our show's designated laugher, Maya and Dorothy. Can you give us a quick chuckle to get things started?
Sure. Oh, and I, too, am still a big fan of Leave It to Beaver. I enjoy the old reruns, and really, it was a great show.
Right? Okay, well, now I am obligated to introduce our show's temporary permanent co-host, Gerald Holcomb. You can pipe up now, but just keep it brief.
Pipe up? What does that even mean? Does that mean I'm allowed to fully express myself right now? Or will I continue to be put in a corner and be silenced?
Shut up.
I don't know about silenced. You just said a few words. I mean, what more do you want?
Well, to fully express myself, and that might take a while as I've got a lot to get off my chest. I need to gather my thoughts here before I begin. Okay, so I feel that
You should probably spend some more time gathering those thoughts, before spewing them recklessly at our listeners.
Well,
and now I need to bring on our show's intern, Chance. Okay, this is, your time to shine. Entertain everyone with your wit and wisdom.
Well, I don't share my wit and wisdom with just anybody, Spud. I'm what could be called a valuable resource. I don't waste that commodity when it's not in my best interest. So if I feel like sharing anything, I'll jump in.
All right, well, that's fine with me.
Know that I could jump in at any time, like any time.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Now I know, Chance, you are too young and probably not a fan of Leave It to Beaver, but I was thinking
Watched that show a lot with Dorothy. You know, when we've already watched all the good stuff on the channels we subscribe to, it's not bad, but I really like that Eddie Haskell guy. He's really good on the show.
Good call, yo.
Why does your affection for the Eddie Haskell character, superbly played, by the way, by the late actor Ken Osman, does not surprise me, his appearance on our show is coming up later. So everybody needs to hang around for that. Anyway, I should probably give the listeners a bit of the history of Leave It to Beaver, for those who are not aware of it. It debuted on CBS October 4th, 1957, and only lasted a year on that network. It was then picked up by ABC, who then aired it from 1958 to 1963. There were 234 episodes produced. It was never like it was a top 10 show, but, later when it went into syndication, the reruns became must-see TV for many, many people over the years. Like I said, I still, watch this damn show. Mostly to fall asleep, but, I definitely have an affinity for it to this day.
Hey, Spud, am I allowed to jump in here and share my feelings about Leave It to Beaver?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, this is a special episode honoring Leave It to Beaver, so yeah. Okay, what do you got?
Well, I wanted to say how important this series was to me growing up, as the reruns were on all the time when I was young, and I developed an affection for Barbara Billingsley, who played June Cleaver, Beaver's mother, and right. Hugh Beaumont, who played Ward Cleaver, his father. Yes. And they were such great role models for aspiring parents everywhere. Our family still enjoys to watch it occasionally on our Holcomb family nights.
Yeah, you know, Hugh Beaumont as Ward was such an awesome dad. I mean, he made mistakes, but he always did the right thing in the end.
And Spud, I know your father, Sparky, was not exactly a normal parent. And your mother, too, for that matter, was not a perfect parent either. But they did love you. Well, your father did most of the time, though you yeah. seemed to annoy him very much in your teenage years.
Not a joke!
Yeah, teenagers are sometimes tough to handle. I was an exception to that. After I was around 7 or 8, I basically parented my parents. They needed some guidance and I stepped up. Dorothy, I don't know how they're gonna cope with me moving out after our wedding. They might not do so well. I'm just saying I'll need to check in on them each day to make sure they're making good choices.
Oh, I totally understand. We all have our roles in life, and your parents do look up to you.
Yeah, Chance, are your parents, like special needs people? You know, do they require adult supervision during the day?
That's frankly offensive.
They both graduated from college. They just rely on me. I'm kind of the figurehead of the family. They're going to really miss me for sure, but they'll be okay.
Well, that's good to know. But let's get this darn special started, okay? Like with my interview with the lead character of this legendary sitcom, Jerry Mathers. He played, of course, Theodore Beaver Cleaver. Rusty Stevens, who played Larry Mondello, and Stephen Talbot, who played Gilbert Bates, are unfortunately the only living cast members still with us today. So, yeah. Okay, well, here is my conversation with actor Jerry Mathers.
Your first guest, Jerry Mathers, is waiting to speak with you. This is the Beaver. Can you believe it?
This is going to be cool.
I know. I couldn't sleep last night. Huh? I think I know the dialogue to almost all of the Leave It to Beaver episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Except maybe the ones where Wally got love crazy over Mary Ellen Rogers. They made me just a little uncomfortable. Not just when I watched them as a kid. They still do to this day when I watch the old reruns.
What are you objectifying on?
Well, Leave It to Beaver is one of the few shows that our whole family can still enjoy together. You know, it's still being aired as we have to tape the episodes on our VCR. It's on some local station around 2 o'clock in the morning, I think.
Yeah, I can't say I could relate to the Beaver as he had a really, really normal life. But I sure was jealous of him growing up. Mm. His life was so stable. You know, I've always wanted to have Jerry on this show. You know, we've had Tony Dow and Ken Osmond on before.
Yeah, that was before I started working on the show, I think. Listen, are you going to ask Jerry what his most memorable moment was playing the Beaver?
Well, what is the question?
Well, what choice do I have? That question, as you know, is in my contract.
Yeah.
I'm legally obligated to do so. Yeah, I might get away from not asking that from some guests, but no way with Jerry Mathers, you know. I'm going to admit right now my palms are sweating.
Yeah.
Okay? Let me take a deep breath. Okay, let's do this. Put him on.
Very well. I hope you are prepared for this. Here he is.
Please say hello to actor and author Jerry Mathers. Welcome to our show.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah. So, you know, before we get going here, I must say I can now retire happy as I've completed the trifecta. As of this moment, we have had Tony Dow, Ken Osmond, and now you, Jerry Mathers from Leave It to Beaver on the show. I don't want to get sappy here, but Jerry, for a segment of us spoiled and now cranky baby boomers, you are TV royalty. I know you're probably sick of hearing that. So sorry, but because I'm usually an incurable cynic, but I had to say it.
You know what? Doesn't bother me. It's that's a compliment. I take compliments very easily.
All right, super. Well, in your memoir titled "And Jerry Mathers as the Beaver," you covered what it was like, you know, being the youngest actor on a network
show that centered around you. I mean, you could have played the show's named after me card, and you know, I'd rather go to the beach than act today, but you never did. You were not a diva. You were in all 234 episodes, right?
Absolutely, but see, I've been an actor since I was 2 years old, so it wasn't anything that was new to me or being a diva. I mean, I worked with Bob Hope. I did movies with Alfred Hitchcock. I did actually a lot of live TV when I started out at 2 years old, so because there wasn't any videotape, so all the shows I did were live. So, you know, doing a series was actually pretty easy because it was the same character. It wasn't different. We went to the same studio every day where, you know, before Leave It to Beaver, we'd go to one studio, go to another, and it was an all-new director and all-new cast, and, you know, you had to change characters. So, you know, I was pretty seasoned to doing that kind of thing. And when you got into the same character, and, you know, it was just easy.
You know, on the show now, we're discussing life after growing up and the reality that eventually we do lose our parents and how much that sucks. But your TV parents, Hugh Beaumont and Barbara Billingsley, have now passed. But I was going to ask, were you close to them off the set and in the later years?
Well, you know, it's probably like for yourself or a lot of other people out there, like maybe your favorite teacher or someone that was an adult when you were growing up. You know, I spent a lot of my time with them, and they were always very good friends. You know, I knew if I was in any kind of a jam, you know, or needed any kind of help, they would always do it, and I would have done it for them. Now, that really never came up, but they were just really nice people. And we were, you know, all professionals. As I say, I was working at 4 and 5 years old with Bob Hope, Alan Ladd, so working on a movie set for me was just like other kids going to regular elementary school.
Huh. Well, you know, they were awesome substitute parents for us Beaver fanatics, but I was a bit intimidated by June, as she always, you know, was wearing the pearls and looking so beautiful, and my mom would wear curlers and a muumuu most of the time around the house, so there was a bit of a disconnect. But, I mean, Barbara was elegant.
But there's a good reason for that. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
Barbara Billingsley was a very, very skinny New York model. And if you look at her real close, now this is one of her big secrets, her neck was very, very slim. And the two, I don't even know what they're called, but the two muscles in your neck would go down. And when they lit it made her look like she had a tracheotomy or had a scar there. So the pearls cut across that darker spot in her throat. And that's why she always wore pearls.
Oh. Wow, that's a pretty cool story. All right, super. Well, you know, in interviewing Tony Dow, who played Wally, and Ken Osmond, who played Eddie Haskell, they both said you guys, you know, do occasionally get together at appearances and other stuff. Do they ever gang up on you and give you the business still to this day?
Honestly, no. We're just really good friends. You know, I've known them all my life, and, you know, it's just somebody. And in some ways, I know I have brothers and I have a sister too, but so they're not really like family, but they're like a very good friend. Like if you had a friend since first grade, especially an older person, maybe that was in the second to the third grade, you know, they were just somebody that I was with every day for basically 7 years of my life. And we just always had a good time. We went back and did the new Leave It to Beaver in the 80s. And, you know, then as adults, we could relate a little bit better to each other. But, you know, they've always been a very good friend to me. And I know that if I'm in trouble, I had something that they could help me with, I'd go to them, and vice versa.
All right. Okay.
Spud.
Yes.
I have to say, you have continued to give me the business since the day I took this job as co-host. I know it's your way to bond and show your affection for me, but sometimes it can be really a bit much to handle.
Oh, hey, Jerry, just a sec.
I give you the business because you deserve it. And well, no, giving someone the business is not a display of affection.
I understand you can't say on the air anything positive about our relationship that would be counter to your radio personality of being an irritable, often surly talk show host.
Oh, Spud is just as surly and irritable off the air. In fact, he's been like that since birth.
Well, you can continue to believe what you want, I guess, but for real, we both find you annoying. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Mrs. Jarvis, I know you don't want to break the wall here and let on that Spud is actually a salt-of-the-earth kind of guy, so I'll play along.
Okay.
Yeah, my doctor said I'm supposed to cut back on the salt, okay? Jeez, but whatever. Let me get back to Jerry, okay? I am talking to the Beave, man. All right, I'm back.
Okay.
Well, in 1962, during the show's run, you released a single with a B-side, and after the original series ended while in high school, you started a band, Beaver and the Trappers. So how big was music in your life at that time?
Well, I always liked it. It was, you know, it gave me something to do. I used to go out and play state fairs and all sorts of personal appearances. And instead of just getting up there and going out and signing autographs, you know, I'd pick up a pickup band in whatever city I was in, and we'd do 15 or 20 minutes of whatever the most popular song was at that time. And then I would go out and sign autographs. And I'd talk a little, of course, about Leave It to Beaver, but it just kind of, you know, brightened the whole thing up. So that was my summer job and how I bought my first car.
All right, super. Well, let's talk about the reach of Leave It to Beaver. I read that in other countries you're still approached, you know, for autographs and people coming up to you. How many countries was the show aired in? Was it on like in Peru or the United Arab Emirates? And I mean, where was it on?
All over the world, because it plays in, I think it's about 56 languages, but some of them like Spanish, or, you know, it plays in, it doesn't play in Russian, but it plays in Germany. It plays in France, and a lot of those, because of their, you know, their colonialism, there are places all over the world that speaks that. One of the funniest places is Japan, because in Japan, instead of, because they thought I was little, they used a little girl to dub my voice. So the first 2 or 3 years, it's okay, but in the last year, I'm about 14 years old. Not only am I speaking Japanese, but I definitely have a very high girl's voice.
Huh. All right. Well, let me close with this. Jerry Mathers, what was your most memorable moment as Beaver Cleaver?
You know, I can't answer that one. That's a good one to close with, because it's something that I would ask you, what was your very best memory between the time you were maybe 6 and 14 or 13? You know, there was just so many good memories. I think what I like about it is it's such a good show. It's timeless. It's something I can be proud of. My kids are proud of it. My parents are proud of it. So it's something that, you know, will go down in history. One of the interesting things is, because of the way we broadcast television, if there's anybody out on Mars or any place in the universe,
which there
those
are,
waves will be going out there. And that Leave It to Beaver, because it was an early 50s TV show before TV had really just started, would be one of the first shows that they would get. Who knows if they'd ever be able to translate it or even see it, because it's, you know, just a wave, but it's going all over the universe and has since October of 1957.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. I guess we will close on that. Hey man, I would really like to thank you for coming on our show, okay?
My pleasure, anytime.
Mr. Jerry Mathers.
Jerry Mathers was such a great guest. What a nice guy. Yeah. You know, I was a bit worried when you interviewed him that you might, you know, maybe offend him, Spud, like you've done to so many other guests over the years.
Hey, Bud, what's your problem?
I would never offend the Beaver dude. Come on. That just would never happen.
I never heard that radio show episode as it was before I started working here, but yeah. After listening to the clip now, Jerry didn't really seem like a prima donna TV star. I was a little disappointed. He seemed like normal.
Well, I know you prefer the rebels in Hollywood, honey, but people like Jerry, who, and also like Henry Winkler, or say Carol Burnett, they're just really sweet people.
You know, I was thinking it must be weird for Jerry to go through life and deal with the passing, you know, of family members in real life, and then, like, also family members from his make-believe life in the entertainment industry. Because, you know, when you think about it, that's the biggest thing in life that sucks, losing people that you're close to.
I guess.
At least that's my take.
Yeah, you are part of my work family, Spud, but
yeah,
I can honestly say I will be able to carry on quite easily when your time comes. I guess because we're just not that close.
Well, you know, maybe not, but I bet you will miss me. You know, like at least a little tiny bit. Maybe at first you might not even be aware of it, but there will come a time down the road after I, you know, pass on that you will feel maybe you know, like a tinge of sadness that I'm no longer in your life.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
That is messed up, yo.
If you go before me, Spud, I will miss you. So there's that.
Yeah, okay, good to know. Okay, well, let's move on to my interview with the late actor Tony Dow, who played Wally Cleaver. You know, Tony passed away July 27th, 2022, And, you know, I only spoke with Tony the one time in this interview, but I have to say, he seemed like an exceptional human being. And like someone who you would be so lucky to call a friend.
And he was so damn hot, too. What a great-looking man.
You know, Spud, I was not on the show when you had Tony on. I believe your old co-host, Chick Hunter, was with you in the studio on this one. But back then, as a regular listener to this show, I did hear it, and I very much enjoyed it. I learned a lot about Tony's life.
Yeah, you know, Chick was with me on this interview. I got to say this, you know, he had a lot better timing as co-host than you, Gerald. I mean, I'm just being honest here.
Timing is a subjective thing, Spud. I feel I have great timing in my role as the current co-host.
You know, people lie a lot, so you got to be on your toes.
Temporary co-host.
Temporary permanent co-host.
This guy played Beaver's older brother, right?
Yes, and, you know, anybody would love to have an older brother like, you know, the Wally Cleaver character that Tony played. He was much more than just an actor, though. I mean, everybody needs to know, if they're not aware, he directed and produced a ton of television shows over the years. And also, I got to say this, he later became a world-famous sculptor. Like, he was really good at it. Let's just run this segment, Dave.
All right, please welcome to the Spud Goodman Radio Show, actor, director, producer, and world-renowned sculptor. And I guess I have to say this, you co-starred in one of the coolest TV shows ever made, Leave It to Beaver, which debuted in 1957 for one season on CBS and then five more on ABC through 1963. And of course, can still be found on reruns. Yes, everyone can tell I'm pretty pumped here. Chick, back me up. Few guests make me nervous, but this is different.
Yeah, put on a safety belt.
So how are you doing, Tony Dow?
I'm doing great. How are you? I was very lucky to be on that show, wasn't I? It was a terrific show.
It was the best.
You added a lot to it, too.
It was the best. Before we begin, though, I must state for the record, as someone who never had an older brother, no, I had an older sister whose drama queen tendencies overshadowed my formative years in the family. But say, as Wally Cleaver, you represented the ideal big brother, and I cannot express how much I wanted someone like you in my family. So how tough was it for you, like when you were in high school, and when you went to the beach or the grocery store and younger kids would be bugging you? Because, I mean, the show is pre-Beatles, but you were at that level, man.
Well, I don't know about that, but it was a terrific part, and the show was really interesting because it showed life from a child's point of view, and I was the sort of go-between between the parents and the bees, and I didn't get bugged a lot by people much. I mean, people would whisper behind my back, or they'd point, or they'd do stuff like that, but everybody actually was very was very nice because the show was pretty well respected, and it was a quieter time in our history.
Hey, Spud, do you think if you had Wally for a big brother, your life would have turned out different?
What's that supposed to mean? I think I turned out okay. I'm no serial killer or hedge fund manager.
Well,
in addition to acting, you later became a TV director and producer. What were some of the series that you worked on?
I directed a bunch of Coaches. Mm-hmm. Craig T. Nelson and that show. I did
The Fodderback.
I did Babylon 5, which super sci-fi. Great show. I did Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. I did a bunch of Crusades, which it came on the air after Babylon 5, same production company. I did a show called Cover Me, which I think was probably my favorite show. It was an hour episodic show. Mm-hmm. And then I did a bunch of half-hour things like Harry and the Hendersons and Lassie and... I can't even remember. You know, I probably did 15 or 20 different shows. So.
Wow. Well, Tony, you're a multifaceted dude. Let's get this out for the record. You now concentrate on your sculpting career, and your work has been shown, like, worldwide. You specialize in, both uncast pearlwood and bronze? Is that correct?
Yeah, I must say, though, that your introduction's a little over the top. I don't think I'm a world-renowned artist, but I did have a piece that was exhibited at the Louvre at an annual show they have there.
Okay.
And so, you know, that was sort of my big international moment.
I think you're way too modest, but that's okay. It's my job to bring the stuff out.
It was at a gallery. It's in the Louvre, but it's a separate gallery where special shows are done. And this was called, I've forgotten the name of the show. But anyway, it's an annual show that's a juried show. And the gallery I was in sent a couple of photographs of my work in, and they accepted one of them. So that was kind of cool.
I would say that would be very cool. Hey, listeners can check out your work at your website, tonydalesculpture.com. I took a visit there. It's pretty amazing the stuff you create. So I know you tend towards modesty, but it's my job to kind of get to the point where what you've done is pretty amazing, because not a whole lot of child actors, later TV directors, producers, have their artwork displayed in the Louvre. So, I mean, I'll say it if you won't. Anyway, moving on. So Chick here wanted to ask you something. So this is I know you're a major fan.
Well, I just want to know, like, did you ever feel like taking Eddie outside and, like, whooping up on him just to keep him straight? Because he seemed like he was kind of that way in real life, too, was he?
No. Actually, he was probably the best actor of all of us. He was a little mischievous. There's no doubt about that. And he had a little bit of a swarmy attitude on occasion. He's actually a really good guy and really good family guy. He's got two kids that are like, you know, one's a veterinary surgeon who there's only a few of them around. And then his other son is an editor and doing really well. So he's a good guy.
That's
so
good to hear.
So you never pounded him, huh? Wow, okay.
Never did, although in the movie I gave him a shot. I don't know if you remember the CBS movie. Yeah, I gave him a shot in that, but that's about as close as we got to coming to blows.
All right. My personal Beaver question deals with the dialogue. Like, you and Jerry Mathers were the first two kids on TV who talk like real kids. Like, you know, for instance, like, give him the business, I want a hunk of cake, mess around crummy, and a lot of the words that the real kids spoke. Did you guys add some of that stuff, or were the writers really that tuned in to how kids talked?
Well, I'd like to say we were a big part of that, but no, the writers had seven kids between them, and actually all the stories, certainly for the first year, and probably on after that, were written from episodes that their sons would bring home from school or their friends. They would, you know, so they were really in tune. Although there were times when we'd have a reading and some word wouldn't sound right, or we'd, you know, whatever, and we'd see if we could change it. But the problem was, you know, Jerry and I are working, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day or whatever it is. So we're not very good judges of what the kids are doing, you know, because we're not out around the kids. I remember I was asked to give a talk on the 50s or 60s at a high school, and I said, well, this should be a piece of cake. Well, I got there and I realized I don't know anything about that, because I was working that whole time period,
right,
you know?
Right.
And our show was representing the time period pretty well, but, you know, I certainly wasn't out hanging with the guys and talking the talk and, you know. So.
Super. Well, hey, this is a little off topic, but my co-host here is on this health kick now and is taken up to sucking on those e-cigarettes.
Not
I just
my
don't
fault.
Get it. Do you think they're really that healthy? Because he never smoked until he started seeing everyone with those stupid things in his mouth. Is that big in Hollywood, those things?
I have no idea. I would not do it.
All right. That's for the record.
But so you never smoked, and now you're smoking whatever that
thing is?
Well,
they look cool. I thought I'd do it because, you know, everybody else is standing around holding them up.
It's healthy. But anyway, I'm sorry to bother you with that.
You're breathing deep.
It's just while we're doing the show, I'm having to deal with
it. I hate to say it. I think it looks dumb, but
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony.
You get your choice.
All right.
Hey, Spud, can I get a sweetie or Pepto there? I should have only had 4 of those waffle tacos at Taco Bell. Number 5 or 6 is not sitting well.
Fine, okay. I did tell you, though, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, Last question, and it's related to the series, the one of my all time favorites, probably my top three. Do you ever hang at all with any of the cast members? It's still to this day.
Yeah, we don't hang. If you're talking about hanging socially and going out and getting a burger, or going playing pool or something like that, but we do show up at the same events occasionally, and I'd say we get together maybe 5-6 times a year or something like that.
This has been quite memorable for me, and I very rarely have them, to be honest with you, after being in this talk show racket for many years. So this has been pretty cool for me.
Yeah, have fun there, Mr. Dow.
Well, I appreciate it, and why don't you come down and say hi?
We just might do that.
It's a long drive, I guess, huh?
Well... in Chick's car? You're going to get your car back from your parents?
I should.
The one they let you use? All right, super. All right, Mr. Tony Dow, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rehearing that interview with Tony makes me, like, really miss my former co-host, Chick Hunter. Now, he had state-of-the-art timing as a sidekick.
Well, like I'd mentioned earlier, Spud, timing is a subjective thing to evaluate. And I've been told many, many times that I have exquisite timing. That means perfect timing, Chance.
I know what the word exquisite means. I've gone to 2 years of community college, Gerald. I am highly educated, so no need to talk down to me.
Yes, Gerald. Chance is extremely smart and has a vocabulary that can take one's breath away. Yeah. I'm so proud of his mind.
His mind? Yeah. Okay, whatever. Anyway, getting back to Tony, ranking all the actors who played Big Brothers on TV sitcoms, I'd have to say my vote is he was number one.
I would concur with that.
I guess I agree too.
I will abstain, as I'm not old enough to have seen all those shows you guys have over the years. I mean, some of them, Spud, were silent TV shows, right? Before they did them with dialogue?
Yeah.
Chance, the talkies started after the era of silent films. There were never silent TV shows.
Mr. Highly Educated.
Oh, he knew that. He just misspoke.
Yeah. Thank you, Dorothy.
All right. Well, right now, let's move on to the musical guest for our Leave It to Beaver special. It is Cody Foster Army. Yeah, one of my favorite bands. Dave, run the live in-studio performance from our esteemed musical guest, which, by the way, was a band that my late mother, Sofola, managed. They were great and are still great in my mind. I play them all the time. I got to say that for the record. And I know she very much loved these gentlemen, Cody Foster, the late Dave Takata, and Reno Davinus Marzillan. That is, in fact, Cody Foster Army. Dave, hit the cue, please. All right, it's musical guest time again. And my mom, okay, Mom, you can do it. Okay, fine, do it.
Okay, here's my guys, the Cody Foster Army Rocket.
Yeah!
I'm blind! No!
the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
Spud, thank God I wasn't working on the show when that really, really loud rock band was on. They could have caused permanent damage to my ears, even with earplugs in.
That's ridiculous.
I didn't think Cody Foster Army was that loud. I mean, I could hear just fine by like around noon the next day.
Gerald,
I could. I had pretty good hearing by then.
I gotta say, hearing is overrated. I know my granddad milks that hearing loss angle so often as he can. He basically just ignores my grandmother when she asks him to do something. She asks a few times and then just gives up and does it herself.
Yeah, you know, that excuse is on my list to try when I get a little older. I'm pretty sure I can sell it. But, okay, well, let's move on to my interview with the late actor Ken Osmond, who played the character Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver. You know, he came on our show in April of 2015. Sadly, he passed away on May 18th of 2020. Ken's Eddie Haskell was maybe the best portrayal of the asshole best friend ever in the history of movies or TV. He was amazing. Yeah. I mean, everybody remembers someone like, you know, Eddie Haskell while growing up. You know, the kiss up to adults while being a smartass and super obnoxious to non-adults. And, you know, Ken's life was, to say the least, quite full as he started as a child actor at age 4 and continued in the entertainment industry until he was 27, you know, with a little modeling thrown in, too. At 27, he actually decided to make a career change and become a Los Angeles police officer, where he served for 18 years. You know, he later appeared in the Leave It to Beaver reboot that, you know, there's a couple versions of him that were released later. And yeah, but all I remember is, you know, he was a great guest on our show. I really liked him. Dave, run the segment.
Put him on.
Okay.
Please welcome actor, model, and former LAPD officer Ken Osmond. Thank you for checking in with us tonight.
Hey, how you doing, Spud?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Well, before we begin this thing, I must disclose that I am a Leave It to Beaver fanatic, have seen every episode broadcast. I guess it was like my Shakespeare growing up, multi-layered storytelling that spoke to a generation, you know?
Oh, listen, you'd be surprised how often I hear that.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're not all alone out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe Jerry Mathers said that you were the best actor on the show, as you were totally different than your character, Eddie Haskell, that you're an extremely nice guy off the show. Yeah, you know.
Well, I'd like to think so.
Well, the only way I'm hearing that is if I pay someone to say it. So, but that being said, here's my question. Were you a method actor? Did you immerse yourself into being a total jerk just for the show?
I'm not going to call it a method acting. But yes, I did, you know, when they said roll 'em, I became Eddie, as I've always done, in everything I've ever acted in. You got to set your mind right and become that person when you go on, and you'll put it over better.
Did they have like Emmys in those days? Because you should have swept them year after year. I just that's just my take.
I appreciate that, but oh yeah, they had Emmys, but no. You know, a funny thing, our show was never in the top 10 when it was original.
That is unbelievable.
But you don't remember what 10 were.
No, what were they in that era? I'm trying to think. What, Bonanza?
I have no idea, but ours is still out there.
I guess you toss in Bonanza, but all right. Well, let me say this. My mother often felt you were too big an influence on me growing up. Did you experience other parents trying to keep their kids away from you, fearing you'd rub off on them?
Well, not me personally, but oh, I've heard that many times from so many people. You know, hey, my mom always said stay away from people like him.
How did that impact you? I know you're in your later teenage years, but did it ever bother you that even though people didn't know the real Ken Osmond, did they just surmise that maybe you were Eddie in real life?
Oh, no. I take it as a compliment, really. It means I'm doing a decent job.
All right. Well, you now have a new book out titled The Life and Times of America's Preeminent Bad Boy, Ken Osmond. It was written by...
Actually, there's two books, but that is one, yes. That's basically a biography.
Right.
And it's pretty complete.
It was written by Christopher Lynch and is available at all bookstores and online, so I'm telling my listeners to ask for it.
Amazon has got it.
All right. Super.
That's the place to look for it.
All right. Well, Jerry Mathers wrote the foreword to the book. Is that correct? What do you have to say?
He did, yes.
What do you have to say in that, generally?
He was more than flattering. I mean, Jerry and I have been friends for, almost 60 years now. And we're good friends.
You know, Spud, when I watched Leave It to Beaver growing up, I most identified with Lumpy. I don't know. Maybe it's because my dad used to call me Lumpy a few times after we got done watching the show.
Okay.
I never saw the resemblance, but I did enjoy the actor who played him. I think his name was Frank Bank.
Yeah, I didn't mind Lumpy, but he was a pretty big kiss ass, if you ask me.
I don't know. I thought he was a great role model for kids. It was Eddie Haskell who was the real troublemaker. Now that you're speaking with Ken Osmond tonight, I can see the similarities in his character on Leave It to Beaver and the man you've become. Talk about influencing innocent youth.
Well, I continue to feel Eddie was a misunderstood icon, and someday, Ken's character will be re-examined in a much more positive light. Maybe by the French.
Oh, I wouldn't count on
that. We had Tony Dow on the show last year, and what an interesting man. He said doing Leave It to Beaver was a total blast, but he didn't get to do the whole teenage kid thing really while working for the studio. I mean, I know he was a Junior Olympics diving champion, so he did get out a bit, but how about you? Did you still get to do the normal teenage stuff while working on the show?
Of course I did. I went to regular school on the days that I wasn't working, and part of the ROTC in high school. Enjoyed that. I did regular kid things. We'd cut class occasionally and go to the beach and, kid things. Growing up in the 50s was so great. What a hell of a time to grow up.
Yeah, in Southern California. Yeah, did you graduate from, was it North Hollywood High you graduated from?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, super. That leads me to my other question about the other actors on the show during your teenage years. On the weekends, did you guys hang out much? I don't think the Beverly Center Mall was around those days, but did you guys go out and play putt-putt or do anything, normal?
There were times that we did, we'd have birthday parties or something, but normally they had their circle of friends and I had mine. But occasionally we'd get together for a party or something.
All right. Later after you left showbiz, in your 20s sometime, I guess, you joined the LAPD, correct?
In 1970, I became an officer.
During your career, it's public record, you were shot on two occasions. That's a pretty big price to pay for a job. That's a tough gig down there. I know that for a fact. Did you enjoy your career?
For the most part, yes. Now, there's a lot negative about being a policeman, too. It takes a toll on your mind, and I regret that part of it. But the job is exciting. It's different every day, and you see things that the average person never even conceived of. So it's interesting, but... looking back, I wouldn't do it again, especially not in today's society.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. Did you do any acting gigs while you were still on the force?
Not much. Once in a while, I'd have a day off that coincided with some sort of little gig, but nothing of any consequence at all.
Well, how much crap did you have to take from your fellow officers about your TV
career? Oh. Every day. Oh, roll call was a riot. I caught a lot of crap from the other cops. But that, it was all in good fun. I mean, that was great.
Any particular jabs that they took repeatedly? They're probably all familiar with various storylines of the show. Did they hit you up with anything in particular?
Nothing real special, but it was regular every day. So, but it just became part of the ordeal.
Did they call you Eddie?
Oh, quite often.
Okay.
Oh, I answer to it.
Oh, do you? Okay, all right, super, super. It's good to know if we run into each other. You have a new movie coming out titled Characters. I guess it was shot in the state of Florida, correct?
Right, in near Orlando, yes.
Okay, and we're on in Tampa, maybe in down that, in that area right now, and also in Fort Myers. How was the experience for you doing that particular film? It looks kind of interesting. I saw the
rundown. It's kind of fun. You know, my wife and I have totally different taste in movies, and what she likes is what we've referred to as a feel-good movie, and Characters is that. It's a feel-good movie.
So what? And well, let me probe further. Is that your taste, or do you tend to go more towards the dark side?
Not the dark side, no. But I like more action. And
yeah.
Well, I was totally addicted to Breaking Bad. That's my taste.
Yes.
And my wife wouldn't watch any of it. She hated it.
That was art. That really was. I'm with you totally. Well, let me hit you up with this one. This is my money question. What was your most memorable moment as Eddie Haskell?
All right, I'll tell you what Eddie allowed me to do. I was not portraying Eddie at the time, but through Eddie, I was allowed to meet President Reagan when he was the sitting president, and I had a private tour of the White House. What a incredible experience.
Wow. A personal tour, huh? Jeez. Did you share any words of wisdom with him?
No, we didn't get all that personal, but God, I learned so much about the workings and such. I'll tell you what, in my opinion, the greatest president since I've been politically aware.
Well, could I ask you this though? Did he even acknowledge that Eddie Haskell was in his presence? Did his staff? Was it ever brought up?
Not while I was there, I don't believe.
Oh, it had to be said at a staff meeting or something. I mean, Eddie Haskell does not.
Oh,
come to an event.
I didn't go to any staff meetings or anything.
I mean, his staff must have discussed the fact that, for me...
Oh, I don't know.
It's a privilege to have Eddie Haskell come and visit anywhere. So I just saw him. That's all I'm saying. So, all right. Well, Ken Osmond, this has been a memorable moment for me, Spud Goodman. I mean, I do a ton of these celebrity interviews, but seldom do I speak with someone who I feel so close to, though we have never spoken before.
I'm flattered, really.
Absolutely. I mean, I just feel it's this bond I always have with you and your character. Probably more your character, but okay, well, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you taking the time to check in with us tonight. This has been one of my, this is on my bucket list. I have spoken to Eddie Haskell. All right, I can now die a happy man. So, Mr. Ken Osmond, thank you very much.
Spud, thank you.
Spud. It's very hard to believe that Eddie Haskell, or Ken Osmond, was an LAPD officer for 18 years.
Yeah, you know, getting pulled over by him, it would have been a trip. I'm pretty sure he would not have, brought out his Eddie side if you were polite to him. But if you gave him, some attitude, I bet he could show you some serious Eddie Haskell while writing up your ticket.
Oh, I think Ken's portrayal of Eddie Haskell was a service to many parents over the years. I bet he was used as an example for their kids to never be like Eddie.
When I was growing up, my parents used Justin Bieber as an example to never be like.
They want to shatter your mind talking about Justin Bieber!
That was a good call on their part, I have to say.
Yeah, and you know, it was also nice to hear that Ken, Jerry Mathers, and Tony Dow spent time together off set, away from work. Spud, it's still not too late for us. You and I could establish a relationship away from work, too. Listen, we could both maybe join a bowling league together, we could possibly set up a regular lunch arrangement, maybe once or twice a week, so we could get to know each other better as people, not co-workers.
Well, why? I mean, I don't want to know Gerald Holcomb, the person. I have a hard enough time getting along with Gerald Holcomb, the temporary co-host of my show.
Temporary, permanent co-host.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. Anyway, well, let's move on to our closing thoughts of this Leave It to Beaver special. You know, I think I forgot to mention something about one of my other favorite characters on the show, Larry Mondello, played by child actor Rusty Stevens. He was only on the first couple seasons, and I always wondered, what the heck happened to him? Did he get fired for maybe eating too much at craft services? Because, on the show, he was always eating. But, I was thinking maybe it was just too expensive to have him on the set. Or maybe did he just quit to take a bigger role on another show? But I read, I did some research. Yes, I actually do that. I read that he actually was let go, not due to over snacking, but because his mother was a pain in the butt, to the show's staff. I guess she was like really demanding and just got, too darn annoying. And that was it. I would love, to know Rusty's feelings today on what went down. Like maybe, was it for the best, as he could then, return to just being a normal kid. As I guess his last acting gig as a child actor was in 1963 on The Rifleman. He later became a car insurance salesman, actually, in New Jersey. But I guess Jerry Mathers found him in the 80s and got him a couple acting gigs on those Leave It to Beaver reboots that they did. That was a really cool thing that Jerry did for Rusty, in my opinion. I'll be honest with you, Gerald, if we don't do any kind of reboot of my show, 5-10 years down the road, 20 years, I'm not looking you up. Okay. That's just a fact. Not even through Facebook or whatever. But anyway, I should also say that, Larry Mondello replacement character who then played Beaver's best friend, Gilbert Bates, in season 3 through 6, he was played by Stephen Talbot. And I guess he left the acting business as a child actor and, never did another acting gig as far as I could find out. But later he had a long award-winning career in broadcasting as a reporter and producer. There's no sad story of a child actor gone bad with Stephen.
Well, I know I would never permit my children to enter the entertainment industry. It's the playing field of the devil. Everyone knows that.
Shut up.
No, they don't. I think there are way more devils working in the hedge fund business, on Wall Street. And no offense, I know your children. I don't think there's any need to worry about Hollywood snapping them up.
Yeah, you kind of need talent to be a child actor, Gerald. Besides looking kind of cute.
Well, I know if your parents would have decided to allow you to be a child actor, Chance, you would have been a big star. I can only imagine how amazing and brimming with talent you were at that age.
Oh, boy.
And with your cuteness factor, well, your show business career would have been off the charts.
I would question your judgment on that, Aunt Dorothy, but, okay. I guess we can wrap up this special now. I think, we did a halfway decent job of honoring, this TV program that gave so many people great joy. And, I know for me, there are very few things in life that give me joy. I know some would say, why waste your or our time honoring some way old TV sitcom? Like it was shot in black and white. Yeah, I hear that a lot. Yeah, it's that old. Yeah, okay. But I would say back that, would you rather us honor, Mr. Belvedere?
I don't think so.
Just guess what makes a TV show awesome is it's just a personal thing. I've given a lot of thought to it. But hopefully you enjoyed our effort here.
I still love Mr. Belvedere.
We just might live the good life, yeah.
It, too, was on for 6 seasons, airing on ABC from 1985 to 1990. And, Spud, I'm pretty sure most of the cast members from that show are still alive. Yeah, maybe we could book some of them to be on a new special. I know so many people are still interested in Mr. Belvedere. Do you want me to reach out to Lori?
No need for that, okay? No need whatsoever.
Oh.
We all have our favorite shows, but I do agree with Spud here. Leave It to Beaver has to be considered one of the all-time great TV sitcoms. Mr. Belvedere, not so much.
Yeah, what Dorothy said.
Okay, well then, we are all mostly in agreement here. I would say that, yeah, okay, we're moving on. I am Spud Goodman. Be all that you can be, and I mean that. God bless and ciao.
Bye-bye.
Listen, I'm not saying our next special absolutely has to be about Mr. Belvedere, but it might be something to consider. There must be a huge audience interested in that fantastic sitcom.
I would drop it, Gerald.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, well, okay, I can take a hint. Goodbye, everyone.
The show is written and directed by Spud Goodman, produced by David Brenneman of Rosedale Audio Productions. Original music by Michael Spotts and Tom Harmon. Executive producer is Lori Madsen. Live music production and broadcast engineering by On One at the facilities of NWCZ Radio. Video director is TJ Pites. Our interns are Trent Botello and Anna Howell. Production assistants, Brian Martin and Chance Morrison. On-air talent, Rob McGee, David Deere, Pam McGee, and Tom Nolan. Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show podcast, copyright 2024 Spud Goodman Productions.